Yes, it does. Greet each one this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grateful for every visitor that's here this morning. God bless you. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, we do wish you the Lord's blessing. I trust that He has blessed you already. This morning, I felt led of the Lord for some time to bring this message. I feel led of the Lord to bring it this morning to each one of us on the authority of the believer. There are many ideas about what authority is, but I want to say this morning, just in beginning, by way of introduction, I want to say what it is not before we take a look at what it is. The authority of the believer. God has given His children authority. There is no reason why the people of God should run and hide from spiritual wickedness. There's no reason why the people of God should be afraid of the devil. There's no reason to be afraid of the workings of the spirit world. We're speaking this morning about the authority of the believer. Now, authority is not the fullness of the Spirit. You'll understand why I say that when I get done, but it is not the fullness of the Spirit. Now, you need the fullness of the Spirit to exercise authority, but the fullness of the Spirit is not the authority that God gives us. Number two, it is not a special gift that a few may have and the rest don't have. It is not that either. God does give us gifts. There are gifts of discernment. There are gifts of preaching. There are gifts of edifying. There are many gifts that God gives by His Spirit. But the authority of the believer is not a gift that God gives to just a few. And I'm afraid that many of God's people have that mentality. And the way you can tell they have that is when they get in a situation where they need some spiritual authority, they call on a preacher. Could you come over to my house? I have this person I'd like you to talk to. But my friend, this morning, the authority of the believer is not a special gift given to just a few. Number three, it is not prevailing prayer. Some would feel that after prevailing prayer, we gain authority and then we go forth based on the prayer that we prayed through on, and thus we have authority. The authority of the believer is not prevailing prayer. Now, all of these have something to do with authority, but they are not authority. Authority that God gives is not the property of a few, but the possession of all of the people of God. Let me say that one again. It is not the property of just a few, but it is the possession of all of the people of God. We just want to teach here a little bit, and maybe in the middle of the sermon, we'll preach some, but we just would like to teach some to begin with. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. We want to look at this matter of authority. Our Lord Jesus had authority while He was upon the earth. And the Bible says that we're to walk even as He walked. And I believe that it's safe for us this morning to say if the Lord Jesus had spiritual authority over the powers of darkness while He was upon the earth, then we also shall also have spiritual authority. Reading in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I also, and I put the also in there, but you'll find it in one of the other Gospels, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now there's an interesting insight here as we see the way the centurion saw Jesus. I don't believe he just pulled that one out of his hat. I believe he had been watching the Lord Jesus. I believe that he had been watching the things that Jesus was doing. He had heard the stories about what the Lord Jesus could do. And he had made his evaluations based on the things that he had seen and the things that he had heard, that this Jesus had authority. And all he had to do is say this and it would be done. And all he had to do is say to the devil, go, and the devil would leave. And all he had to do is say to the demon, you leave, and the demon would leave. And he made some assumptions there that Jesus didn't need to come to his house, that he was a Gentile. He was a Roman soldier. He is not worthy for Jesus to even come to his house. But it doesn't matter, Jesus. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And he shares with the Lord Jesus there, I am also one who's under authority, and I give a command and somebody moves. And I say, do this, and somebody does what I tell them. And what the centurion was saying was, Jesus, I know that you're just like that. You are also under authority. Now the centurion was under the authority of the Roman government. And Jesus was under the authority of the Father. But he was under authority, and because he was under authority, he was one who was in authority. And he could say this and it would be done in the spiritual world. What is authority? Well, the dictionary says, it is the right or power to give commands that bring action. We're speaking about the authority of the believer this morning. And authority is the right or power to give commands that bring action. Isn't that what we need? Oh, the people of God need to have authority. That is the right and power to give commandments that bring actions, that have results. The disciples also had authority. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. We'll start reading there. We see that the disciples also had authority. They were disciples of Jesus. Jesus had authority. The disciples also had authority. And the 70 returned again with joy. We're reading in verse 17, chapter 10 of the book of Luke. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. There's a lot of keys in that little phrase right there. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject, note that word again, unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now in another account in the Gospels, we see how that Jesus gave this authority to his disciples and then he sent them out. And here we read the account of them coming back and sharing what happened while they were away. And they are just rejoicing that the devils are subject unto them. Something totally new for them. Here are 70 men. They went out two by two, 35 groups. And they faced all kinds of problems, and they faced all kinds of needs, and they faced people that have devils in them, and they had watched their Lord command devils to leave, and the devils left, and then they heard their Lord say, "Now I've given you power, I've given you authority over those evil spirits, now you go out." And they went out, and can you imagine the excitement that must have risen up within their hearts the first time they tried it, just like the Lord did it. They did it the same way and saw the devils subject unto them. And I don't know how long they were gone, but when they came back, they came rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them, under their authority. That's what the word subject means. Now we want to notice something in verse 19, by way of teaching also. There's, in verse 19, we have the word power twice. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Power is used twice, but they're different words. The first word is exousia. The second word is dunamis. Jesus said, and that word exousia is authority. So it would read this way, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy." All the strength of the enemy. I have given you authority over all the strength of the enemy. That's what Jesus was saying there. In the King James, those words are often translated the same way, but they're totally different words. There is a difference this morning between power and authority. When Jesus said, "And ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," that word power there was dunamis. It's might, it's strength, it's grace. That's what he was saying to his disciples. You go into Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with dunamis or power or grace or strength from on high. But the other power is authority. Different word. What is authority? Often used illustration. I want to use it this morning. In many of the busy cities all across the world, you find intersections just like this. And we've all been to the busy cities enough to know how much traffic runs up and down the streets in a busy city. Well, many times, and not so much anymore in America, but in other countries, you'll find a little platform, a little stand, a little podium, right there in the middle of a busy intersection in a city. And there, a policeman will walk and get on that platform at busy times during the day. Probably 8 o'clock in the morning, when everyone is going to work, a policeman will make his march down the street and stand on this little stand right here. And then probably leaves again and then comes back at 5 o'clock in the evening and he takes his place right here on this little stand. And he directs the traffic. We know that, don't we? He stands there and gives direction to the traffic. When his hand is down and he is facing the traffic comes his way. And it's just going by and going by and going by. Hundreds and hundreds of cars go his way. When that police officer chooses to stop the traffic so that the cross traffic can get by, all he has to do is raise his hand just like this. And all the traffic stops. And then he turns his body in this direction and goes like this and all the traffic begins to move again. Very interesting, isn't it? That policeman doesn't have enough power to stop one of those cars from going down that road. If you put him out in front of it and said, "I want you to use all your power, policeman, and make sure that these cars don't move until all these are done," he could not do a thing about it. He has no power to stop those cars. But all he has to do is put on a uniform that represents the state for which he works and take his place in this position of authority in the middle of that traffic. All he has to do is put that uniform on and step up there in that place and raise his hand, and all those cars will stop. They'll come screeching to a halt. That's authority. There's a lot of difference between power and authority. There's a lot of difference. What is authority? It's delegated power. That's what it is. It's delegated power. You see, the power is already settled. The policeman has no worries. He never wonders whether or not those cars are going to stop for him when he steps up into that place with that uniform on, because the authority has already been settled. And all the people, in the minds of the people, they know that when that man gets up there with that uniform on and he holds up his hand, they must stop. Because the power and the force behind that authority has already been established. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture when we take that then and bring it into the spiritual realm where the children of God live. And remember, this morning we're speaking about the authority of the believer. In a very real way, every single one of us that are in this room, if we are clear before our God, every single one of us have that kind of authority. Not to stop cars that are going down the road, but to stop the devils of hell. And give direction to the evil world that is around us. We have authority to do that. The authority is already established for the policeman. He simply puts his uniform on, stands up in the place, and raises his hand. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? That's what authority is. I'm tempted to give an illustration, but I'll wait. I think it'll fit a little bit better later. Authority, then, is delegated power. Its value depends upon the force that is behind it. And since its value depends upon the force that is behind it, how much value is the authority that the believer has? For look at the force that is behind it. And may I say this morning, that force that stands behind the authority that the believer has been well established. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll see how the authority has been established. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Paul is speaking here in chapter 1 and telling them that he prays for them, that he's burdened for them. In his prayer, he prays that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He prays that their eyes, the eyes of their understanding, would be enlightened so that they might understand three things. We'll only look at one of them, but I'll just note the three. Number one, that they may know what is the hope of his calling. Number two, that they might know what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is in the saints. And number three is where we want to start reading, verse 19. That they may know, O God, I pray for the church at Ephesus, that they may have the eyes of their understanding enlightened, so that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here the Apostle Paul is burdened that the church at Ephesus would understand and see the exceeding greatness of God's power that is manifested to usward who believe. And he explains it there. And in verse 19, I'd like us to notice that the exceeding greatness of that power is so exceeding and so great that four different words were used to describe it. And all four words have to do with the power that God displayed when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The word power, the word working, the word mighty, and the word power. And there again, there's two different definitions for that word power. But God used four words to describe the exceeding greatness of the power which He wrought in Christ Jesus when He rose Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand far above all the principalities and powers. So I say this morning again that the authority has been well established. The force behind the delegated authority that we have as children of God has been well established. If the policeman has confidence when he stands up on that little platform with his uniform on because the authority has been established, how much more shall we be filled with confidence because the authority has been well established? In fact, I don't want to go into a lot of details with word studies this morning, but if you could study verse 19 and 20 in detail, what God is saying is, the greatest manifestation of my power that I ever manifested was when I rose my Son from the dead and sat Him at my own right hand above all the principalities and powers. Oh, we're thrilled with a God who creates, and we're thrilled with a God who works miracles, but the greatest manifestation of His power, which establishes His authority, is when He snatched the Lord Jesus out of the hands of the principalities and powers of the world of darkness and raised Him from the dead and sat Him at His own right hand. The greatest manifestation of His power right there. Turn to Colossians. We see the same thing, just written a little bit different. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Or I guess verse 9 through 15 is what we'll read. Now remember, Paul is writing to a different church here. Same burden on his heart. Ephesus, Colossae, same burden on his heart. Verse 9, "For in Him, in Christ Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye, believers, are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." Notice that again. It's the operation of God that raised His Son from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and nailing it, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now look at verse 15. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Spoiling principalities and powers. You see, the principalities and the powers, they had the Lord Jesus. They had Him. He was dead, and they had him. But God the Father spoiled. And that word spoiled means that he stripped them of all their power when he raised Jesus from the dead. He stripped them of all their power. Christ overcame the power of the enemy while he was on the earth. We see that in the temptation there in the wilderness. We see it all the way through his earthly ministry. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. So number one, Christ overcame the power of the enemy. While he was in his flesh, he did not yield to the temptations, to the onslaughts, to the powers of the enemy one time while he was here on the earth. Number two, then he submitted himself to the death, even the death of the cross. Number three, God the Father displayed his exceeding great power in that he raised him up from the dead after he had done those two things. And by the resurrection and ascension of Christ, this authority is established. Now this morning, we've been given that power. Turn over back over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we know this morning that the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And at the right hand of the Father in heaven, all power is given unto him. It says in Philippians chapter 2, because he was willing to become obedient unto the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow and every tongue shall confess. And he's been placed in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, which is the place of power. If we could go back into the Old Testament and see the order there, many times Daniel was in the place of power. God so used Daniel in his excellent spirit and the wisdom that he put in him that many times Daniel would find himself before the very king, whether it be king of Babylon or whether it be king of Persia or whatever it was. Daniel found himself right here next to the king. When we look at the life of Joseph, Joseph found himself at the king's right hand. That is the place of authority. At the king's right hand is a place of delegated authority. And that's what Joseph had, and that's what Daniel had. He had the delegated authority of the king, and he was placed at the right hand of the king, and all of the kingdom knew that he sat at the right hand of the king, and therefore he had authority wherever he went because he sat at the king's right hand. And now our Lord Jesus has been lifted up and placed at the Father's right hand by the resurrection and power of God, and by the ascension he was placed at the right hand of the Father, and that's the place of authority. And Jesus said, I'll save it. Get ahead of myself here. So now here we are. And in Ephesians chapter 2 it says that we are seated, we are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, which is the place of delegated authority, and the Bible says that we are in Him. And we've been made to sit there. He quickened us by the power of God. In the same way that Christ was quickened and raised and seated in heavenly places, we also, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, we also have been quickened together with Christ and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there, We have inherited His throne. What a beautiful picture. When you begin to meditate upon that, and you remember this policeman standing here in the middle, and how easily the cars stop when he raises his hand, and how easily they go when he puts his hand down, and turns this way and puts his hand up, how easily those cars move and respond, and they receive direction by the authority of just a simple man, a nobody. He has no power at all except the delegated authority that's been given to him by the state of the land where he is. And oh, that's exactly where we're at this morning. We have no power at all except the power that is given to us by the delegation of authority through Christ Jesus. And it's foolishness, absolute foolishness, to try to do anything without that delegated authority. But in that delegated authority is absolutely foolishness for us to run and hide. Absolutely foolishness for us to run and hide when that authority has been given. We're talking about the authority of the believers. I say this morning, let us put on the uniform and step up to the stand. And of course, the uniform for us is that robe of righteousness in Christ Jesus. We put on a uniform. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in the captain of our salvation. We're in the vine. And we put on that uniform which signifies authority. And then we step up into that place. And that place where we stand is in Christ Jesus. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And from there, from that place, the believer has authority. Now this has some far-reaching effects for those who will abide in this delegated authority. It has far-reaching effects. And I'm not here to give all of them, because I believe the depth of what I'm talking about, probably I don't even understand it. This delegated authority, it has far-reaching effects for the children of God. But we need to put on the uniform. We need to step up and take our place and begin to take authority over Satan's kingdom. You know, I tell fathers many times when I'm counseling with them about problems in their home. Father, authority doesn't need to raise its voice. Authority doesn't need to shout. Authority doesn't need to holler. Authority is authority. You need not to raise your voice in your home. You need not to walk through your home and say, I'm the boss around here. Authority has authority. And you need none of that. So many times, and I know I'm guilty of this too. It's the weakness of my own flesh, by the way. We think that we get more authority over the enemy if we holler at him a little bit louder. But the authority has nothing to do with how loud our voice is. The authority has nothing to do with how much we prayed. The authority has to do with the delegation and the position of the child of God. Just like that father, his authority is positional. His authority is there. He has it. He doesn't need to work it up. He doesn't need to holler it up. He doesn't need to stomp it down. He doesn't need to make a fuss to get it. He doesn't need to force it. It's there. And it's so also in the spiritual realm. Although I believe the more we walk with God, the more we'll have the insight to exercise the authority that we have. But the authority is there. It has nothing to do with the power of God in our lives. It's simply there, and it's for every child of God. And I'm overemphasizing that this morning just so that we'll understand that it's a very simple thing. And just like a father who walks through his house and says, son, none of that here. It stops. So also, in the spiritual realm, Do the children of God have authority? And they don't have to raise their voice, but they can just simply say, no more of that. Satan, no more of that. You devil, no more of that. And it's done. That's what authority is. Quiet, delegated authority to the children of God. Authority is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart based on facts. I have authority because the Bible says so. Therefore, I'll exercise that authority through Christ Jesus. It's an attitude of the heart. Now, how can this be made practical? I'm going to have to hurry. I have 10 of them. How can this be made practical? It doesn't do us any good this morning to talk about it. It doesn't do us any good this morning to lift it up and look at it and everyone go home and say, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yes, we have authority in Christ Jesus. It does us no good at all if we can't then bring that down and make some practical application and show you some ways that you, not being a preacher, not spending a whole night in prayer, can have authority in your life over the evil powers of this world that we live in. And I want to say this too to balance it. It's nothing to play around with. We will speak a little bit at the end how this authority operates, but it's nothing to play around with. But this morning, I think we need to recognize that we have it and see that we have it because it's there, not because we have to go and get it. It's there already. Every one of us here has it in Christ Jesus. So how can this be made practical? We are supposed to be the children of God. We are supposed to be able to stand in that place and put our hand up and stop things from happening and stop the powers of the enemy by our word, by our command, because authority is the power to command to action. So we need to be the children of God who have authority or the power to command things to stop. Here's how it can be applied. A story was given to us just a few weeks ago of a father and his young son. They were in a mall somewhere, walking through the mall, just going shopping. And all of a sudden, someone ran out of a store, out from the door of a store, and ran up to this little boy and just hollered right in his face, "Satan!" And then took off running. The father, you know, it was rather disheartening. It was rather fearful thing. But the father wasn't sure what to do. He went home and the boy was troubled. The boy had a dream or something. And he was encouraged. You, father, you need to take authority over that. You need to take authority over that. No, Father, you don't need to go alone and get alone with God and pray all night and then go in there and take authority. Just go in there and simply, because the authority is yours in Christ Jesus, if your heart is clear before God, you just walk in there and you just command those evil spirits to leave my son alone in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the boy was not bothered anymore. We live in a day when every single one of the fathers in this room need to know how to do that. Because there is evil everywhere. And the influences are everywhere. And the demon influence is getting stronger all the time. Anytime a wrong influence comes over your children, you can take authority over that. A television program that they watch somewhere got stuck in a home somewhere and the television was on. You can take authority over that. Some radio program they listened to. Some tape that somebody played when they were over at their house. Some book they read that they shouldn't have read. You can take authority over those things. We don't have to be just sitting there limp with no power and not know what to do. It's our place as a head of the home to take authority over those things in the name of Jesus and just clear our children up. And it's a good thing to do that, and it's something that you have to do every now and then if you watch over your children right. Just clear it up. Sometimes children have bad dreams one night after another after another. If you have a child like that, you need to take authority over that. That's not normal. And you don't have to go and get alone and pray all night and go in there all steamed up against the devil and say, "All right, devil, we're going at it." No, you don't have to do that. You're missing the whole point of authority. All you need to do is be clear with God and walk in there and tell the devil to leave your child alone in the name of Jesus. That child is sanctified by this home and that child belongs to Jesus, and you get your hands off of him in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's done. It's done. We're talking about the authority of the believer. Your children get mixed up in wrong relationships. You can take authority over that, father and mother. I don't want to just give the fathers over here. Fathers and praying mothers, your child gets mixed up in a wrong relationship, you can take authority over that in the name of Jesus. If your child comes under heavy temptation, and oh, what a blessed way to build a relationship with a child, when the child can come to you and say, "Daddy, I'm really having a struggle. Would you please help me?" And for you to fall down on your knees together and just tell every evil spirit to leave this child alone in the name of Jesus and have everything be clear. And the child go back to bed and go to sleep. What a blessed way to build a relationship. Number two, in home. At home. Rebellion. You can take authority over rebellion in your home. If you have a child that is rebellious, you can take authority over that. If you have a situation that's out of control in your home, you can take authority over that. You can just simply slip into another room and get down on your knees and tell those evil spirits to get out of the house in the name of Jesus, and they must leave. Many a home was quieted and calmed when there was a disruption or an outbreak of rebellion in a young person, or maybe even rebellion between a husband and a wife. Many a home was calmed by a wise father or a wise mother who slipped off in the other room and just told those spirits, "You get out of here in the name of Jesus. You have no right in this place. Go." Isn't that interesting? Oh, what a calm came over it. They didn't have anything to fight about anymore. Or the rebellious child didn't have any more argument in him. They just went off to their room and they were quiet. Now you can't change that rebellious heart, but you can bring it under. You can bring it under. And you can bring those evil spirits under that are provoking that child to rebellion. That's authority. All right, let's go on here. Number three. Here in church. And this one is powerful if we could just get a hold of it. Here in church. The enemy creeps in. A church that is growing, the enemy creeps in. Lots of visitors. Who are they? They come, they go. Some you know, some you don't know. Many times the enemy will send somebody into a church like this and try to make havoc out of the service. But it doesn't have to work because of authority. If the believers would just unite their hearts together and take authority over every evil spirit that would hinder any kind of a meeting here, then it can be broken and they leave frustrated. A church that comes together under authority and stands together and agrees together and takes authority over the evil spirit world will have a blessing on Sunday morning. Number four. Out on the streets. Some of you were out in the effort at the fair last night. Out on the streets. We're the children of God. We're the ones that stand in the middle of the road and put up our hand in the name of Jesus and stop the evil powers. You can take authority when you're out on the street doing street work. Sometimes Oh, there's all kinds of situations that come about there. People get belligerent. People get angry. People get upset. You can take authority in the name of Jesus. You don't have to say anything to that person. All you have to do is stand back a little bit and command the evil powers in the name of Jesus to be quiet and leave this person alone, and you'll see him quiet down and no more problem. We're the people of God. In the name of Jesus. In evangelism, many times when you're trying to win someone to the Lord, there seems to be a block over them. There's a block in their mind. You tell them the gospel, but they don't understand it. They'd like to pray, but they just don't grasp the whole thing. It's very simple. Just to stop right there and pray a very simple prayer. You can't run out and pray all night. He's right there. You got to have authority now. You need to recognize your authority right now. And you can stop right in the middle of trying to win someone to the Lord Jesus and just say, you devils, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave this person alone and that he might see the gospel. And just like that, the situation can change. Because you see, it's the work of the evil spirit world to blind the hearts and minds of those who do not believe the gospel. They blind their minds. But they're here and we're here. Far above all principality and power. So though they may blind the hearts and minds of those that are lost, if we have somebody there that we're working with and their heart is open and they want to see but they can't see, it's just a matter of praying a simple prayer and commanding those evil spirits to leave that person alone, and then you can give them the gospel and they can be saved. In sickness, sometimes sickness is just the devil. Not all the time, but sometimes it's just the devil. He's just making havoc. He's just making trouble. Especially when you get involved in the work of God very much, you'll notice things like that. A headache. Wow. Just like that. A headache at the most inopportune time. A sick child. You can take authority over that in the name of Jesus. You can take authority and command the evil spirits to leave this child alone, or leave this wife alone, or leave you alone. And it'll just go away, just like that. Temperatures of 105. Gone. Headaches. Splitting headaches. Gone. A bellyache that you can't explain. Excruciating pain. Gone. Just like that. Just simply the devil trying to destroy the work of God, trying to hinder the work of God. But we can take authority over that in Christ Jesus. I hesitate to say this one, but I believe it's so. We don't see much of this today, but you can take authority over evil places, businesses, pornography shops, abortion clinics, bars, adult movie theaters, and all those kind of things. The children of God can take authority over them. Right? Here we are, standing in the road. And here comes the evil, and the evil, and the evil. Stop. In the name of Jesus. Stop. You don't see much of that these days, but I'll tell you what. When God's people get revived, wherever there's been a reviving among God's people that lasted very long, the bars started closing. The houses of ill repute, they closed. All those kind of things started shutting down when God's people got clear and in that place of authority. In our own individual lives, we're hindered. We're tempted. Fiery darts come our way. We don't have to be plagued with that. We can take authority. We can take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And this is a big one and a whole message. But we can simply take authority over the powers of darkness through prayer. Prayer is a powerful way to take authority over the evil powers. Corporate prayer can change principalities and powers. Corporate prayer can break principalities and powers. Whole areas, whole regions. You hear the stories when you get out on the mission fields and read about the missionaries that were here and over there. They started a little church in a village and nothing happened and nothing but evil continually, and the gospel wasn't getting through, and all of a sudden a few believers got together and they started to pray, and they prayed and bound the powers of evil over that little village or whatever it was, and bound the powers of darkness. And just like that, as soon as that was done, all of a sudden converts started coming. And the witch doctor packs up his bags and moves to another village. Coincidence? No. Binding the powers of darkness through corporate prayer, individual prayer, and corporate prayer. In fact, I believe there are evil princes over regions. There may be an evil prince over Lancaster County that has power over all the people in the county to blind them and hold them in their religious bondages. He can be bound in the name of Jesus through corporate prayer. He can be frustrated. His work can be frustrated. So many times the people of God, they sit back and frustrate us and frustrate us and frustrate us. But He can be frustrated and He can be bound and His power can be broken through corporate prayer. If we see the authority that we have as a believer. And last of all, just simply helping others. Just in helping others. What a blessing it would be. If every friend and every person that you came in contact, you felt the liberty to ask them a few questions. Where are you at in your spiritual life? Do you have assurance of your salvation? Do you struggle in your Christian life? Do you just keep trying to go forward and get slipped backwards and try to go forward and slip backwards? Well, yeah. Yeah, that's my experience. Have you ever been involved in witchcraft? Well, yeah, when I was a child, but I didn't believe in it. Wouldn't it be a blessing if all of the children of God would do that with all the people they know? It seems like a multitude of people are bound in that. You can take authority over that. You don't have to call a preacher. You can take authority over that. You, in your living room. When someone comes to your house and sits down to visit with you, you can ask a few of those questions. It's the authority of a believer. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do the work of God," if I can sum it up that way. Jesus said to His disciples, "Disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that word power is authority. Here He is at the right hand of the Father. At the right hand where the power was given. And Jesus said to His disciples, "The Father gave all authority unto me in heaven and in earth. Now disciples, go and do the work of God, because the power has been given unto me and I'm delegating it to you. You go forth and do the work of God." That's what Jesus was saying. Oh, that the people of God would get a vision, would rise up and just take a hold of the practical ways in which they can exercise authority day by day. What a blessing it would be. I think it would probably eliminate some frustrations in your houses. I think it might even eliminate some frustrations in your own lives. It's not a hard matter. Listen, you answer the question by raising your hand. How many of you in this room, You know of a time or times in your Christian life when you knew the devil was after you and you resisted him in the name of Jesus and you knew he fled away. How many of you could give a testimony by raising your hand? It's not hard. It's a very simple thing. It's the authority that God gives to the believer because he's in Christ Jesus. And that authority, that same authority that you use to chase the devil away from your life, it can also be used in the life of your children, in your home, in the life of your friends and relatives, in this church, out on the street when you're winning souls, or wherever you may be. That same authority is available. And may God just open up our eyes so that we understand and know this. So that we can begin to move and exercise this authority that God has given us. Because He wants us to do it in more than just to exercise it over our own lives. We're a little selfish that way. You know, we get tormented and tormented and tormented and finally we say, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. What about all the others that are being tormented? We have the same authority. Can we not look upon them with compassion and just exercise authority in Christ Jesus? Yes, we can. I'll tell you what. If we get a vision of this and start practicing it in our daily lives, Satan would be furious. And God would be victorious. Amen? He would be victorious. So how do you do it? The same way Jesus did. Jesus had authority because He was under authority. If He would not have been under authority, He had none. You see, He laid that aside. He laid all that aside and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He did His miracles by the authority of the Father. He did them because the Father delegated the authority to Him to do it. He did not move around under His own authority. He did not move under the authority of the Son of God. He did not move under the second person of the Godhead. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He did not move and have His authority because He was God. He had authority because He was under the Father. He became a man and submitted Himself under the Father so He could show us that we also, in this human flesh of ours, can have authority over the powers of the enemy. He was a man under authority. Delegated authority was given to Him. So how do you do it? Just be clear. Just be at rest. Be at peace. Be walking with God. Have that conscience clear. Have the heaven open. That's all. That's all you need to do. That's the only requirement you need to fulfill. Is that you are clear before your God. And then just simply do it. In the same way that you can tell the devil to get behind you when he is tempting you, you can do the same over your children, over your wife, over a friend, here in the church. And I know many times you hear those kind of prayers prayed around here. That's why. Because some of us believe it. That you can command the powers of the enemy to be bound in the name of Jesus and frustrate the work of the devil and free the work of God among the people of God on a Sunday morning. You can do that. This word of encouragement to you, or warning, Satan will do all that he can to get you off of that place of authority. Once you decide, okay, that's right. I do have authority. I'm going to exercise it. I'm going to begin to move in this thing. I'm going to start raising up my hand like the policeman did. Satan will do everything he can to get you off of that place of authority. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 in closing. That's why these verses are so important. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he says it again, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Satan will do everything he can to pull you down off that place of authority. But it's time that the people of God get up on that little box with their uniform on and say, stop. Right there. In the name of Jesus. And friends, just like those cars come to a screeching halt, so also do the devils screech to a halt when we do that in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? That is so. In the name of Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to You in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving, Lord, we stand in awe this morning as we ponder this subject and realize the truth of it, the reality of it, the power of it, the long-range effect that it could have upon each one of our lives. Lord, we stand in awe of Thee. Oh, Father, we ask You this morning, oh God, that You'll bind every evil spirit that would snatch this seed out of the hearts of Your people this morning, God. I just come against them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, let the seed grow in the hearts of Your people, that Your people might rise up and be those who take authority in these last days we live in. Oh, Father God, we thank You for Jesus this morning. We thank You that He was willing to go to the cross, and He was willing to die, and He was willing to be buried. And we thank You, Father, that You raised Him with all the exceeding greatness of Your power, and seated Him at the right hand of Your power. Father, we thank You for all that this morning. And I just pray, Lord, let not these words fall to the ground, but Lord, let them take root in our hearts and bear fruit upward. God, that we might be freer from the onslaughts of the enemy, and oh God, that we might go into the enemy's territory and snatch those precious fruits out of his hands. Yes, Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because the church has been given authority in Christ Jesus. Father, we just commit the rest of the service into Your hands. God, we do ask it all in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.